Name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the 7th month, the 23rd day of the year 2023, and it's the 8th Lord's Day after Pentecost, which the Lord hath made.
Let us be glad and rejoice therein.
And so if he stays, St. Apollinaris and St. Laborius. You know, people could do what they have to do to survive, to do what they enjoy, to do what they like. So there's no excuse when they don't find God. None. But, oh, it's too hard. I got open. It ain't too hard. It's not too hard to learn. It's not too hard to obey God's commandments. You just don't want to do it. You can do a lot of other stuff. I always see this. You're really smart when you're driving on the car. You don't go over to the line and smash into the other car. You make sure you stay in your lane. But how come when it comes to stuff about truth, when you tell them, and they know they lie to you, they just lie to your face when you show them evidence that's obvious, and they just lie to you. Like, the whole world's full of liars. And they can't pretend to be, what, invincibly ignorant or something? You show them the evidence. How many times do we show Protestant scriptures and they don't even answer you? They don't even reply back to you. Once you sting them with a couple of verses, nothing. I don't want to mention his name because of his parents, but one of our brothers witnessed to his father, who's a Protestant. And he denied the Holy Eucharist, and he told his son was a Protestant all those years, now he's Catholic, and he told him that the Holy Eucharist was made up, but the Church Fathers never taught it. So he told his father, you know, you lied to me about the Church Fathers. They do teach about the Holy Eucharist. And his father wouldn't even answer him.
Wow.
Didn't even address it and wouldn't even look at the evidence.
Yeah.
I mean, why don't you look at the evidence?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All men are liars. We got the wise stuff. Oh, you know, this is like a little news thing. You know, this Robert Kennedy, you know, he's pretty good on a lot of stuff, you know. And they were grilling him. And they're trying to make him like a devote. He had one of his relatives, a younger Kennedy, come out and mock him.
Yeah.
Well, you don't listen to him. Robert Kennedy, he's a nut. He's a kook, you know. And they're trying to like discredit him. Well, when he came out, he gets a big bonus for this Robert Kennedy on the COVID-19, on the COVID vaccine. He came out and said, it was targeted to sterilize white and black people, but not Ashkenazi Jews and Chinese.
Really? He said that?
Yeah. But not the Ashkenazi. And they now they said he's a racist. And he says, I'm just telling you the facts. And they said, think about it, because it was in China.
Yeah.
The United States and China were the main developers of this, and they spread it through the whole world. Utopia movie shows you exactly this thing was going on. Watch Utopia. They're telling you this is what happened. It's happening. So in this case, now, remember we said in the Utopia, the race they chose was the Roma?
Yeah.
And we said it probably was the Jewish race?
Yeah.
Well, Robert Kennedy said, he says it attacks whites and blacks, the Spanish, he says, but it doesn't attack Ashkenazi Jews and the Chinese.
Yeah.
And he has more information than we even have.
I know. Yeah. Whoa.
And they said he was a racist, he's an anti-Semite, they went nuts on him now. And he says, all I'm telling you is fact, let the guy talk, back it up.
Right.
We know if they're honest with you about how many women are now, we call it miscarriages.
Yeah.
And what else we say?
Sterilization.
No, it's sterilized.
Barren,
too, but it also can make you not be able to carry your baby, too. So, anyway, that's what he said.
Wow.
I don't believe it.
Kennedy,
you know, John Kennedy knew the Jews were bad.
Yeah,
so did Joseph Kennedy.
Yeah.
And so did even Ford.
Yep.
And they were all, you know, so he's taken up to his father's.
Yeah.
And so that's good for him.
Yeah.
But he's going to get a lot of heat from that.
Yeah.
He's going to get a lot of heat from that because he said Ashkenazi Jews and the Chinese.
Where was that on? Where did you hear it on?
That's just the other thing, because they were grilling him, and then one of his relatives came on to make him look like a nut. They said, look what he said. He just said it recently, though. Just go check it out. Just Robert Kennedy, Ashkenazi Jews and Chinese.
Yeah.
You'll see it. You'll see him say it.
Yeah.
Oh, Trump is talking about it. Trump, he got angry at Netanyahu, so he's not as 100% with the Jews like he was before.
He said that he liked what his son was doing.
Plus, after what they're doing to him through the court system, he's got a lot of beef against these Jews. He's got to play a little lip service to them, but not as much as some of these other people are totally blinded by it. But that was interesting what Robert Kennedy said. You guys can look that up.
Yeah.
I hate that president being a Christian. I hate it, you know. Think of how crafty the Jew has been in destroying everything Christianity stands for. And the people, well, guess what? The people allowed it. The Jew can't do what he did, or the Freemasons, unless the Christians allow it. The Catholics, you gotta be a bad Catholic to allow it. You deserve it. Remember what they said, the one guy when they were trying to attack the Jews? The false prophet Baal, or Balaam. And the one guy, I forget, it was Syrian, and he wanted to beat up the Israelites. He says, I want you to get on the top now, offer up the sacrifice, bring up the false prophet Balaam, and I want you to curse the Jews.
Yeah.
And every time he blessed the Jews, he couldn't curse them. And he says, because God forbid him to curse them. Yeah. The guy got angry. He went to three different mountains. And maybe you can curse them up on this mountain.
Yeah.
Bless them again. He says, you got to love one thing. As long as the Israelites stay faithful, you can't get them.
Yeah.
If you could breach their faith, if you can get them to grievously disobey God's commandments, you got them. That's what happened with the nominal Catholics. We did the same thing the Jews. You talk about the Jews, we're the same. I say nominal Catholics are worse than these apostate Jews. Because we had the old and new covenant, all these testimonies, and all this example, and we fell away. St. Paul prophesied that the Gentile Christians will fall away, just like the Jews did. So what does the devil do? He tries it with us. Try to get them to breach the faith. Now you understand why I'm so strict on faith and moral issues. Morally simple moral issues, obstinate. And faith issues completely. I will not allow it. I said, Will, the other day, when it comes to faith issues, we're like pit bulls. You know, we'll grab a hold of you, man. You're not going to be able to get our jaws out of there. Or a sea lamprey, you know. Do you see a sea lamprey? When it sucks onto something, you can't get that thing off. Purify the camp. Because if I let it happen, we all go down. Discord, mortal sins of immorality, all kinds of stuff starts happening in the camp.
And think of exactly what the world is not doing. They're not upholding that. That's a sin for every one of them. They accept that all over the whole world, sins of immorality.
Yeah, they do. They do.
And that starts them on
you're right. For them, it's normal.
Yeah.
It's sin.
Yeah.
And so what do they do?
Like you said, they can't even not do it.
They put themselves in a perpetual state of damnation and curses.
Yeah, right.
Because they're not even trying to, they don't see it.
They're actually proud of it.
You know, that was the thing with the Jews. So my point was, how did the Jews and Freemasons take over Christianity, true Christianity, Catholicism so badly since the Great Apostasy? Because the nominal Catholics allowed it. Because you look at the Borgia movie, you look at all the evidence we got about the homosexuality in the 11th century.
Yeah.
Peter Damian saying it was so bad, it hurt that period, but he had a lot of good stuff. He was a heretic, Stoic too, but he talked about, in his day, 11th century, almost every priest and bishop, and it was all homo. Back then!
Yeah.
And you're dead! You're dead! You're dead! You're dead! And the devil and the Jews got you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they started borrowing money from the Jews.
Yes!
Now you're beholden to them.
Once you start borrowing money from the Jew, you're like already telling people that you've been in his service for a long time. Mm-hmm. For you to finally start going to him for money, which you know how that's forbidden. You can only loan to strangers that are non-Catholics and her enemies. You can use your, but when you do it, whoever you owe money to is your master. And so you enslaved yourself to the Jew by going to him for money, which the great movie Merchant of Venice sells so perfectly, like Philip II did, when he borrowed money from Jews at usury rate. Of course, Jew doesn't give you money for nothing. He always usury rate. Borrowed the money from Jews to go to sleep. I need it so bad, and I don't have enough. I have to go to the Jew. Well, you've just damned your whole fleet. And what happened to that fleet? Take a watch, look at the movie Elizabeth that we have.
Yeah.
The whole fleet was destroyed by a storm. They didn't. It wasn't even a battle.
Yeah.
Like if they lost the battle, that would still be bad. Because you say God's not with them because God let the Anglican English beat the nominal Catholic Philip. I understand. It was where God even didn't let that. He just did himself.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, Philip, wake up. And that wasn't his only problem. That guy had naked statues.
Yeah.
He had Venus. He had mythology. He had, like, he was a slob when it came to false gods and scholasticism. The guy was a bum.
Yeah.
And we look at him as a hero.
Yeah.
So that's how these Jews and Freemasons and have gotten in and corrupted. But that's why faith and morals, that's why, you know, if you're not strict on that, you're going to lose your own soul, and if you don't keep the camp clean, your whole camp's going to fall apart. That's why you got to really separate yourself from the world and back to what we just talked, this week a lot of the brothers are having conflicts with their family members, and Sister Andre put up a good point. She was recommending some of the past videos where I spoke about idolization of family members. I have probably about 3 or 4 that I know of. I probably got about 10 maybe. But she was talking about the one specifically where I said, we don't need them, they need us. We don't need you, you need us. And that strikes home too, because when God converted me and I really converted, that's what it was for me. It was us against them. Everybody who wasn't a Catholic is them. And they don't like say that to people. It's also, oh, you're an elitist. Who do you think? Yeah, well, I'm a Catholic, all right? You're not like me. No, you don't, I don't need you. I'm sorry. They don't like to hear that. But when you get that real, when you really feel that in your gut and you know that they are so, they're like, may as well come from another planet. It's them. It's, you say, oh, them, and it's us. Now you're doing pretty good when you make that separation. But if you don't, and you idolize your family, that's the most, I think the biggest thing people fall out, I say it a million times. It's not money, it's not sex, it's not even, it's loving family members more than God. Idolizing your children, your parents, your husband, your wife, whatever it is, idolizing family members is the number one reason why people end up in hell. And then you can go to hell with all your family members. Why do you think God is always, he tested Abraham to even kill his only beloved son who was obedient, and his son knew it, and his son loved it because you must really love me to offer me up, because he was testing his faith. You put even your own son who's good above, you put me above, yes, I put him above, I'll kill my son for you. And he was a good kid.
Flip it the other way and look at how any of us that are here have family members that have accepted where we're at and want to join us.
You're few. Yeah. That's it. And
it's the kiss of death for them.
Look, our Lord says into one verse, and even Isaiah, he says it's going to be like the shaking of olive tree and the vineyard of olives. There's only 2 or 3 berries left on the top. After you're done shaking it and you go through the vineyard, whatever's left on the top is safe, 2 or 3. One out of a city, one out of a family.
Isaiah 17:6, and the fruit thereof shall be left upon it shall be as one cluster of grapes, and as the shaking of the olive tree, 2 or 3 berries in the top of the bough, or 4 or 5 upon the top of the tree, saith the Lord God of Israel. Jeremiah 3:14, return, O ye revolting children, saith the Lord, for I am your husband. And I will take you one of a city and 2 of a kindred, and will bring you into Sion.
So you want all your families to come in at one clip? Well, scripture's against it. Yeah, you hope it, you pray it, but it's hope for the best, expect the worst. But don't put them number one, or put God number one. And if you're right with God, when you test them on the faith, and you see how they despise the true God, after you show them the truth, that ought to make you righteously angry. Yeah. And say, you're filthy.
Yeah.
You're a liar. I don't care, biological parent or not. One of the brothers even said this week when he confronted his father on the Holy Eucharist, and all, he says, I don't even feel like I'm his natural son.
Yeah.
And he's right. I told you the story many times. The one I blackmailed Maylene Randolph. When I was young, I always had a lust for the truth. I always did have that. They call me the why, what, where, and who man, whatever. I was always asking questions. So I did want the truth, you know. But my family was really way wacky. I was back. They were aware of that. My name came up to me and she said, Richard, where did you come from? You're not like the rest of your family. Your family's crazy. Your family's crazy. Well, you know, I mean, so you got to, and when you really separate, like we did, if I go in front of them, it's like, what does biology mean? That we're the same race? What does that mean? You're as strange to me as anybody else, as a Hindu from India. I may as well hang around with them than you. It's the same. I don't feel no tie. You're so alien to me. I get angry at you. I get angry. When you don't listen to God, if you really love God, you get angry at them. You don't start getting overly sentimental.
Well,
go ahead. Yeah.
I saw St. Patrick the other day. I love that scene when he felt the calling to, you know, go back and become a priest, you know. And what does his dad say? St. Patrick, the movie, he goes, if you do this thing, You are no longer my son. And yeah. I was like, oh, that's what we do again.
Exactly. And St. Patrick shows it, the St. Francis with his parents. And it shows, now some parents are good parents and fine, but all 10 of them. But with the St. Patrick movie, it shows it perfectly. And he says, you're no longer my son. And Patrick would say, well, you're no longer my father. And when he came back and left again, he says, I left my parents against their will, but to follow God, because he loved God more than his parents. And even at four, his parents, because of the way they were living, they were not listening. They thought he was a goof. You remember he says, one thing I missed is a Bible. And he asked, and his parents, oh, a Bible. Oh, okay. I think our son's getting a little weird. You know, he's reading the Bible. Look, the problem is, too, the longer you don't, now, sometimes you have to hide your faith at St. Barbara, what? And you can do that. There's people that were working in Nero's household that had to hide their Christianity. St. Barbara had to hide it. Not St. Barbara, Juliet, her Christian friends. Yeah. But then Barbara, too, when she became a Christian. But her friends were hiding it because you can hide it, but you can never deny it. So there are certain cases when you can do that. But when you're living, if you're old enough in a position where you're not going to be, hey, look, if I do this, I'm going to be kicked out in the street, I don't know where to go. Then you got to start speaking up in the house, because eventually it'll come to a head if they try to force you to do something non-Catholic, like go to a funeral, go to a wedding in church or something. Then you're going to have to say something. But in Augustine's case, his parents already know that he doesn't want to be a Muslim, but they just don't know that he's a Christian. But so they're not going to tell him, hey, you better come to the mosque or whatever. He doesn't do any of that. But in most cases, if you're not in a position where it's a thing where a hero's household, if I speak up, you know, there's another thing. You don't want to go and be martyred if you don't have to. It's not, you don't have to go off half-cocked. So, you know, if you're going to be martyred, you're going to be martyred. So there are a lot, I always wondered about the people when you read about it, that were the Christians in Nero's household, how hard it must have been for them to keep it secret and to witness all this crap that's going on. But they never denied the faith. That's the emperors were, when they really wanted to weed you out, watch the movie St. Barbara. When they wanted to weed you out, they would then make you do something against your faith, and then you have to come out in the open, like in St. Barbara. Everybody has to offer up a great incense to Jupiter. Everybody. And then, oh, we can't do it. He said, wow, look at all these Christians that are here. But my point with the family members is, if you're compromising and you're loving them more than God, and you're not speaking up the way you should, and you're not witnessing, it's going to get harder and harder and harder for you to get out. You're going to start falling under a curse. You're going to start getting darkened. You're going to start doubting faith and morals. You're going to start thinking we're crazy because you're going to want to go with your family members, so you make excuses about us. Well, maybe Rich is too extreme. Well, maybe what he's preaching is not right. Maybe he went a little too far. You start making excuses for yourself. There's a verse in here that says, when a person starts to sin obstinately, he makes excuses in his sins to separate from his friends, from the people that he was with, because he doesn't want to be with them anymore, because he married himself to the world and he wasn't speaking up enough. And the thing is, when you finally speak up and you do what you have to do and you tell your parents, it's freedom. They'll leave you, they're going to bug you a little, but they know what you believe in. That's why we said, in my case, if you're in a situation where you should be, you're obliged to tell your parents, then you got to tell them. Write a letter. Mateus didn't tell his parents until he was ready to move into his apartment, which he finally got. So he finally told them. But my point is, if you're living in a place that you can get out of, then tell them. If they don't listen, then get out. Go. It's not like you're going to be kicked out of the street and you got nowhere to go. Then tell them the truth. Tell them the faith. Express. Don't be afraid of what they're going to say. A lot of times it's witnessing to family members that don't even live with you. You know, and you don't want to do it because you don't want to offend them. You don't want to get them angry. Or you don't want them to think you're a kook. But that's what's going to happen when you tell these people. They're going to think you're crazy. It's always the salvation dogma. It's always been that way. Why do you think they martyred the early Christians? Look at all the stuff they said about the early Christians. I mean, when they were martyred and all the stuff they had to go. And you can't witness to your family. You're going to let your family get between you and God. Well, anyway, back to the thing about the lectures I did. Sister Andre emailed me and says, what was that lecture where you said, we need them and we don't need you, you need us. It's them against us. I said, I don't know. I said, check my descriptions about family analyzation and my audio descriptions and you'll find some. She pointed out a couple of lectures that were dedicated to that. She did all the research, but it wasn't in there. So I said, it must have been, so she prayed to St. Anthony to help her find that one video where I said that. And she found it. Actually, she prayed to St. Anthony. It was the Barry's Topics number one. Now, how would you know that? And I'm somehow she got guided to it. And she found it. Because she just wanted to recommend it to all the brothers that are having trouble with their family members. And the Barry's Topics. Well, she even gives the timestamp on it. I'll have her even post it up on here. I can post up her comment. You can find out where to look at it if you want to look at it. But that's the moment where I said, you know, we don't need them. They need us. We don't need you. You need us. Hasta la vista!
Yeah.
And when you're free from them and you're finally broke the reins, it's so peaceful and happy. As long as you try to compromise with them, you're going to have turmoil in your soul because you're committing sins of omission. Not something you should say. Now, in other cases, like I said, sometimes you have to live with them and you can't say it outright. Some people can say it right away because you don't have that fear. You know? And then you should do it. If you can do it, and it's not a case if you're going to be kicked out and you have nowhere to go, then you got to do it. And I always found writing a letter is the best thing. Look, you can speak to them verbally, and I did. Not as good. A letter is stone. A letter is stone. They can't say that you didn't say it, okay? Here's the letter. I sent it to you. Here's the CC copy of it that I got. And when they read it, see, because it's there. I can't attend your funerals. I can't attend your weddings. Now, if you tell them on the phone, they can say, why did you tell me that? Wonder if I spoke to you on the phone about a year and a half ago. I forget what day it was. I told you. No, I don't remember that. The only way you can get the transcript is you get a hold of the FBI so you spy on us. They spy on us. Now, can I have a transcript of that phone call? I know you're listening to us, but do me a little favor. This is for my benefit, you know? Let me play back that phone call so I can tell her no funerals, no weddings. So when you put it in writing, it's in stone. And I told one of the other brothers, you tell him, I said, because you don't provoke people, okay? I only raise my voice up to people when they raise it up to me. You blaspheme, you raise up, then I raise up. If not, my first approach to everybody is to be kind to them. Really. And to not provoke them. Always. Look, I'm telling you this because I love you. I don't want you to go to hell. But you can't get to heaven the way you are. This is what I believe in now. And my hope is that you can be with me one day. We can share the same faith. But here's what I believe in. You see how you start talking to them? That's good. Now, if they get nasty and they raise it up and something happens, that's another issue. But your first approach should always be like that. And if they don't accept it. And at least they know where you stand. So that what happened when you write a letter, they can't ask you, oh, go to the funeral, go to the wedding, because they pretend you didn't tell them if you just verbally said it. But in letters, it shuts them up. It's right there. They know what you said. When you write it down, it's like solidifies you. So writing letters to your family and sending it to your family. If you're afraid to do this, you're not doing it, and you could do it. You're not in a situation where you have to hide your faith, but and it gets to the point where if they're going to force you to go to a funeral, then you got to come out. Then you got no choice. Then you have to come out and say something, which is what the pagan Roman emperors really wanted to get the Christians. They had a don't ask, don't tell policy for a long time, so the Christians wouldn't say anything. They won't profess they're Christians, but they won't ask them either. And they knew they had them, but the really bad emperors would go in there and force them to do something against the faith to weed them out. But my point is, I'm talking about, you got other people that just love their families more than God. They don't really fear God. And so what happens is they're fearing more their family members. They have all these fears in the world. They're afraid of things they shouldn't be afraid in the world because they're not fearing God, number one. They're not believing that God is the one that you've got to fear only, because he's the one that protects and allows and everything. He's the one. If you don't fear God above all things, you're in trouble. So she found this after she prayed to St. Anthony, which is verifying everything that was going on this week. We got about three of our members on the site there that are living with non-Catholic family members. At least three, right? Maybe more, I don't know. But four at least, maybe more. But when you have a problem like that, you see, and you, if you're not speaking up the way you should, and then what happens is, once they know where you stand, they're going to back off and not try to force you to do something you already told them that you're not going to do. If you're not saying it, the trap is that you may end up doing it. You may end up going to the funeral. You may end up going to the wedding. You may hear them say something and you need to defend it, and you deny the faith because you don't want to look bad in the eyes of your family members, because you're going to look goofy. A lot of people, they're ashamed of Christ. They're ashamed of preaching. We had another guy that left here. The one just recently. idolizes family members. Never told me, well, is it the way you should? Was it embarrassed to wear the sacramentals? Well, if you're embarrassed of God, he's going to be embarrassed of you. Yeah. Remember, he was ashamed of me, and as adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him. That's in Matthew 10, 37 or 38. Anyone who's ashamed of this, or Mark, it might be Mark. If you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you.
Mark 8:38, for he that shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man also will be ashamed of him when he shall come in the glory of his Father with the glory of the holy angels.
So you're ashamed of God because you don't want to be ashamed of your family members. You want your family members. You ought to be ashamed. It's disgusting when you look at them. If you really love God, is my point, it becomes a very easy thing to do. You know, it's like, that's the warning that if you're overly affectionate, and it's the one on the left, you can see it. It's like, what are you getting so affectionate for? Yeah, you can still love your family members and pray for them, but don't get crazy. If the guy dies out of a state of grace, he's dead. You love God. If you love God above all things, you should even abhor him and say, good, you had your chance, get out of here. But if you let it, why did God allow this? How could it happen? Why is it? Maybe invincible, then you start coming with excuses how they can be saved. You get angry at God, you curse God. Then you start denying the salvation dogma because you want them in heaven. All these things happen. I wasn't going to give this lecture today, but I guess we could because it was a big week on that. I was going to do the one on routine, which is very important because I want to help the builders on routine, how important it is to keep a routine. Well, we had a lot going on this week with family member stuff. But anyway, what happens is, your hope is that, the sad part about the whole thing is, and most times they don't even give you, like, a fair hearing. And I'm trying to say, like, they don't even ask you a question. So that's like the worst. And then most of them are like that. Like, hey, take a look at this. Like he said to his parents, the church fathers teach about the Holy Eucharist, and you lied. You said they didn't. Here, take a look at it. No, I don't want to look at it. Well, now you're already in trouble. You ain't going over to a guy like that. Now, someone was a little bit nice, says, well, let me look at it. Okay, an honest person. Oh, okay, I never knew that. Oh, okay, but, at least they look at it. Most people don't even look at the evidence. They're so stuck. It's like their Protestant faith, their Muslim, whatever their faith is, it's like a racial thing. It's like it's in their blood, and they don't need to refute or study or defend it. I mean, if you think you've got the right faith, then defend it. If I said something you don't agree with, then show me where I'm wrong. They don't even want to go there.
I used to, countless times, I would say to somebody, now, if you have any questions, I'm always here to answer anything that you have to say.
No questions.
Any questions?
No.
Never once.
One, I only got to talk to my family once because I said I'm not visiting you anymore unless you give me 15 minutes, and you got to listen to me for 15 minutes on the paper. You're not going to see me again. My brother, older brother, got real angry. He goes, "You're going to tell me what to do? 15 minutes? I ain't going to listen to you. I'm not going to give you 1 minute." Yeah, he went nuts, but the others agreed. So they gave me 15 minutes. I started to talk, and I said, today you look at it in the church, people are denying dogmas, they're holding all kinds of heresies. And my older sister raises her hand, she goes, Richard, I said, what's a heresy? And what's a dogma? So I told him. But you see what I'm saying? You're Catholic? You're Catholic? It's racial. I was born Catholic, like it's a racial thing. Like the Jews, if I'm a racial Jew, I'm saved or something. She didn't even know what a heresy or a dogma was. Now, I preached to them went in one ear and out the other, nothing happened. My father, in the beginning, when he heard me preaching, I told you this a million times, he called me a Catholic Malcolm X, like a zealot. I said, well, first of all, I'm zealous like he was, thank you, but I'm not a Muslim. He was a Muslim, but I'm a Catholic. Yes, thank you, yes, I'm zealous. And he goes, why don't you put on a smiley face and be happy? Everything's okay and be peaceful. He has all those smiley faces around him, those little demons. I said, I got nothing to smile about when it comes to this. It's not funny, it's not happy, nothing to smile about. And I'll tell you, if God gave me a sword, my father's head would have been off right then. That's how I feel, okay? When God, you know who saved me? God, Jesus, and Mary. They cleaned me up. Mm-hmm. Jesus, my father, Mary, my mother, They cleaned me up. You ruined me. Yeah. They cleaned me up and gave me life. You gave me death. You only gave me physical life. I killed myself. It's an easy choice. I had to restrain myself, really, from not taking this at all. Mm-hmm. If you don't feel like that, you're doing something wrong. You'd rather be around people like that. They would say stuff. Here's the problem when you're around them, like another site member in England, Matthew, and you're around, you got, like he said perfectly too, it's even if they let you alone, you see what happened when I visited that one time too, and the fifth day they weren't even listening, then I was there with one of my friends that, and we went in the back when we were watching a football game, and they went, Rich, come out and play a game with us. Nah, I don't want to play a game with you. I love playing games too, I like it, but I'm going to have to listen to you say something nasty out of your mouth. I'm gonna have to just be around you and hear all this nasty stuff. He says, you have to listen to the nasty TV shows that are immoral, and you're gonna it's torture. It's torture. Now, if you're not holy and you don't want to be holy, then you don't care. You don't care. You'd rather go back out in that profane world because you're still part of it. You really, like our Lord said, if the world hated you, hated me first. See, if you had been in the world would love its own, but because you're not in the world, I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And we have another verse on that, about how wicked the world is, you know? The whole world seated in wickedness.
1 John 5:18,
yeah? And then you got Job 9:24, the earth is given in the hands of the wicked. So, once God makes you a new creature, even if you're an acquired catechumen, you could be a new creature. You're in that position. You could even be an acquirer, doesn't even know the Catholic faith yet, and have goodwill. And look, when I was young, and know your family's kooky, just by the natural law, and you get repelled from them. And you say, I got nothing in common. I mean, if you're not feeling like that, then that means you want to be unholy, and you don't want to be holy. And that's what gives you the feeling, like Matthias was saying, I don't even feel like their natural son, absolutely correct. You know, Christ, when he converted me, I absolutely felt like he killed my old man. Killed. There's so many things that happened to me, physically even, punishments, all kinds of stuff. My old man was dead. Killed. God killed my old man. Now you got a new man. You are the man. It's still, the good things you did when you were paying are still good. You keep those. But you were a whole different person, and you know it. You know when you're a new man, you're completely different. And then your friends who knew you when you were an old man, they go, oh, look at that Brady's preaching to us now. He thinks he's all biased, you know. I know how you were. I went, yeah, that's right. You know how I was. Now look how I am. You ain't got no excuse, pal. If God can clean me up, he can clean every one of you up. So that don't hold no water. Matter of fact, it condemns you. If you look at me now and you look at me then, all right, do what I tell you if you want to be like me now. If you want to stay like you are, stay the way you are, because you can end up in hell. And they do. They love the world. You know, you think there's a point where you just get so sick of it. They get mental illnesses. They don't really like the world neither, but they like a lot of it. The parts they like about the world that are sinful, they don't want to give up, so they're going up and down, bipolar. I hate the world. I love the world. I hate the world. I love the world. I hate the get me up. Get me out. Now I'm doing okay. Because you got to make a total break from it. And the world beats them up. And they know they're not happy. What do you think of these mental illnesses, all these suicides, all these people are up and down, adulteries, no one stays married anymore. It's crazy.
Yeah, after my mom formally tried to become a Catholic, then she tells me, do you think you're right and the whole world is wrong?
They always say that to you. Right? Yes, correct. Correct, Amundo? Yes, we're right and the whole world is wrong. You know, this is great, Lord. This is what you're saying, is because here's because you'll sit back even. We'll say, like, Rebecca Gallagher, you're going 10, 12, you, well, look at the TV, look at the international news, and you go, yeah, I see what they believe in. You know what can make us say that? You know what can make us believe that like a rock? The faith that we have, that God has given us through the true Holy Catholic Church. We know we're teaching it, we know we're believing it, and we know they deny it. Everyone, show me somebody out there that believes what the true Catholic Church teaches, and I will tell you, fine, you're with us. But when you show me a Hindu, you show me a Muslim, you show me a Talmudic Jew, you show me a nominal Catholic, you show me a Protestant, sorry, it holds no water. Yeah. Yes, it's us against them. And it's not a numbers game. On Pentecost Day, I'm reading, when you're up in the upper room, you have 300 or 200, how many people?
153.
Beginning of the church started out with only 100, 200, 300, a few people. But it doesn't matter. And see, what gives us the strength, like we said before, when you have the faith. Look, us against them is stupid anyway, because Freemasons are against Muslims, Muslims are against Jews, Hindus are against Muslims, Buddhists are against Hindus. I mean, so there's an us against them in the whole world with other things. But I get what they think is that because we don't leave, but a lot of other religions don't have any leeway. If you're a strict Muslim, only Muslims could be saved. They're being honest about their false religion. I'd rather have that. Only us Muslims. Well, it's us against them. You know what happened? Why they got the us against them? It makes it even worse because they denied the salvation dogma. It's the false ecumenism we're living through today where everybody's saved. Everyone's saved. Yeah. Muslims worship the true God. Everyone worships the true God, but they believe in diametrically opposed things. So God's either a schizophrenic or he's a liar. But because you have that false ecumenism where they want everybody in the world to be united no matter what religion you believe in, they don't like us against them. It's you against the whole world. It's the salvation dogma preaching. That's what's going to trouble a lot here. They said, look, they according to you, you think you're the only... Yeah. Us Catholics are the only ones that have a hope to be saved. That's exactly what we believe in. All the rest of you in that world out there are on the road to perdition. Want me to prove it to you? You got to sit down? Are you of goodwill? I'm going to show you some evidence. I'm going to show you what the true Catholic Church teaches for the first 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And even some of the anti-popes taught some of these truths. I'm going to show you. And I'm going to ask you a question. Once I show you what we believe in, true Catholics, I'm going to ask you, do you believe in it? No, you're a Protestant. Do you believe in it? No, you're a Hindu. Do you believe in it? No, you're a Muslim. Do you believe in it? No, you're a Talmudic Jew. Do you believe in it? No, you're a nominal Catholic, belongs to the Vatican II Church. Do you believe it? No, you're an SSB10 bastard. So, Diamondville, do you believe? No. You don't believe in it. So we're not the same. And I just showed you what our religion teaches. There's only one God, there's only one church, and you have to belong to that church to have hope to be saved. So there, that's it. I showed it to you. That's how we know 100, bona fide for certain, that we are correct in what we're saying, that we're on this rock, even if the whole world stands against us. Yeah. It don't matter. I got the faith, God, the church fathers, going back to Adam and Eve, to Noah, to Abraham, to Moses, to Jesus, to the apostles, the true Catholic Church, we have it. None of them have it,
right,
except for the true Catholics. So you want to refute me, don't pull a numbers game, or just look what we believe in, and I'm going to say, well, okay, you don't believe what we believe in. You admit that. So then we're not the same, okay? Now, Muslims, you're fighting with the Muslim, okay? You believe that you need to be a Muslim to say, well, we believe you're an infidel, and you can't be saved, okay? That's where we are. Now, a Muslim would agree with that. He would acknowledge our differences. That's why even when this modern false ecumenism is the worst curse of all. Because it makes everybody believe. It doesn't matter what religion or God you believe in at all. It doesn't even matter. They're like an atheists or agnostics.
Yeah,
they love it. It doesn't matter who God is or what he wants. You can do whatever you want. It's a free-for-all.
Everything's fine. Just leave me alone in my
law. It's humanism. You know what I thought about the other day? It's totally humanism.
Yeah, it is.
It's utopia.
Yeah.
It's creating a paradise without a true God.
Yeah.
You can believe whatever God you want, but that doesn't really matter because all the gods, they're all the same. It's us human beings creating paradise.
Thomas More.
I was thinking about that the other day, I forget, I was in relation to the poop even, something he said, but I was thinking, this is all humanism.
Yeah.
It's all humanism. It's utopia too. When you look at the utopia movie, which is perfect, if you don't believe there's a really one God that rules over everything and dominates and regulates, well then it's a free, then we're on our own, and we gotta try to... do what we can do to make a better paradise. But how stupid that is, because one of the brothers said, you can't give yourself eternal everlasting life. You're going to die. So if that's what you believe in, you should be in despair. There's no hope. Just do whatever you want. What's the matter if you build a better earth when you die when you're 70 and you disappear like the poop said?
Yeah.
You disappear into thin air. So what's the purpose of everything?
You know? What I tell Ryan about Neil. You got millions, Neil. But you don't believe you're going to go to hell.
And he can't take his million with him when he dies.
Yeah. He can't take a penny with
him. Even the word, he can't take
a penny.
Yeah.
People like Rebecca Dow, they're the ones that were laughing at Noah when they're building the ark.
They were laughing at Noah when he's building the ark. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, I was going to put this in the article. I forgot, but I'm going to probably one of our letters to editors. I should have put in how many people are worshiping the beast in the final days.
Yeah.
Remember that one verse that says, and the whole world adored the beast, whose names are not written in the book of life, and the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. And the whole world, almost the whole world, worshiped the beast. Okay, Rebecca, then I guess those are the ones we got to listen to. Because she plays a number again, right?
Yeah.
Well, the beast is going to have the greatest number.
Yeah.
He's going to have almost the whole world. So let's go follow the beast. Because he's right.
Yeah.
Democ, most of the people are following it. So is it by numbers?
Yeah.
And here's a verse that tells you. And she's trying to, she couldn't refute. This isn't no example. She said, he's taking Bible verses out of context. He doesn't know what he's teaching. Well, she's a Protestant, right? What right do you have to tell me I'm taking Bible verses out of context when you're not infallible? Your preacher doesn't claim to be infallible. None of you bastards claim to be infallible. You're preaching to me what the Bible means?
Yeah.
None of you bastards can tell what the Bible means because no one claims infallibility.
Yeah.
Well, they're hypocrisy.
Yeah.
They didn't like the clear words. You know what's amazing? St. Paul said it in Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and effectual, more piercing than any two-edged sword, reaching unto divisions of the soul and the spirit, and the marrows of the joint also, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is so powerful, and they've ignored all these hard verses all these years so that we throw out at them. We're jolting. This one can convert them, too, by the way. They can get angry at us, but it could convert them because they read it, and it juggles around in their head, and they're looking at it, no one quoted that for a long time. Wouldn't be submissive to your husbands. You know, Christ said, bring him hither and kill him before me. You know, anybody who does these homo sins is worthy of death. I mean, and it's jolting. And most all of them so far today, when we hit them with this, they just don't know how to answer you. They don't even try to refute you. They don't, like I said, most Protestants, you quote to them about not only say, Lord, Lord, show to the kingdom of heaven, always do it with the Father in heaven. If they'll enter life, keep the commandments, they'll say, they'll quote the favorite verse, Galatians 7, by grace of God alone and faith in Jesus we're saved, by grace of God and faith alone in Jesus, they're like robots.
Yeah.
Like they quote two or three verses out of context. And I said, okay, I heard you, but how do you rectify that with this?
Yeah.
By grace of God, grace of Jesus, blessed Father, and they don't even listen to you. They don't even make an effort to acknowledge that what you read is in the Bible. It's in your Bible. Open it up. Bang, bang, bang. You're talking to an idiot, you know?
Yeah.
You're talking to, that's why, you know.
Yeah.
All men are liars. They're set in their ways.
Yeah.
They're happy. And you know why? Why? Protestant has been that way his whole. My father's father was a Lutheran, going back to Luther. Well, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're all in hell. Okay,
yeah.
There you go. That's what they don't want to admit. And they've got these thousands of years of this false teaching, and they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And they're resting comfortably in this thing. But you know, if you're of goodwill, and they love the truth, and not cowards, in their own Bible they can find out where they're wrong. And that's how people come out of Protestantism. But everyone that remains in it is a liar.
Mm-hmm.
He's a liar, and he doesn't care about the truth, or in some cases, they don't even care about their own faith, like we did when we grew up. We didn't even study it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we learned catechism to get confirmed when I was about 11 or 12. After that was the end of it.
Yeah.
We never studied our faith. We didn't even care.
Like Will had to say to the guy, you know, back there, I forget which one it was, we compiled the Bible.
Yeah, exactly.
Will said too, when Will witnessed, that was a great, I don't know if he expressed the immensity of how powerful that meeting was when Will was able to witness, and he saw, they were listening to him.
Yeah.
Even Yvette Hurl was coming over and she was listening, and Diamond, they were saying, what's he talking about? The Council of Hippo, Council of Carthage?
Yeah.
You know, my point is,
I know.
They respected you for it, even though they don't agree with you, but they're going, wow. You know, it's sort of like it's amazing because we got the Protestant in the back seat. Now, before the Protestant came up and quoted his two verses that he memorized, we'd run as nominal Catholics because we don't know anything. Now we realize how shallow they are. They only know about four or five verses. They take them all out of context. Now we got them running.
Yeah.
Now we got them running. And my point was, they heard what you had to say.
Right.
It could convert them later on. And I'll say one thing, too, and that's so, not to despair, but you don't usually convert people right away, but the only way we're really going to convert these prophets that are so confident and all that is if God punishes them. There needs to be severe punishment. And we're not talking about wisdom punishment. I mean, and at the same time, God's shown his power through us. And it's going to happen. Yeah. If we stay faithful, if I don't stay faithful, it's still going to happen. We'll have it with someone else. It's going to happen. And that's what you need. And the devil knows that. That's why he's attacking us so much. But we're already, the thing is, when you're dealing with somebody that's that bad, all you can do then is say, well, I'm done. Don't keep arguing. Don't keep debating. Just pray for them. Right. And get away from them. That's all. It's disgusting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can be around them if you have to. If you work with them, and you can, if some you can be more friendly with than others, you can be friendly with some you work on. Some people are better than others on the natural plane, and you can deal with them. When they're chili factor, you know, there are some people you can win and some people you can't. But ultimately, still all together, if you're to sit down and get really, things are going to come out where they're just not right. But the worst part is when they don't listen to evidence, then there's nothing you can do.
Yeah. I was going to say, why? I had a lunch with this guy this week, and he's a high school teacher at TRC.
Go on, we're going to put Will on here for a moment. I can take a break.
Yeah. Cool down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, basically, there was this teacher, he's a high school teacher. He was at a couple of the board meetings, the school board meetings when we spoke and stuff like that. So I got to talking to him a couple times and this and that. And then I was emailing him over the email because he was just wanting to become a Greek Orthodox. And he was telling me at one of the school board meetings that he wanted to become a Greek Orthodox. I said, well, I emailed him recently. I said, well, you know, I was thinking about you when I was praying today. And did you ever want to get together and talk about religion? And then he came back and said, well, I'm okay. Don't worry about it. I'm good. I said, oh, okay. So then I let go. Then a couple days later, he's a history teacher. So he teaches U.S. history. So I was thinking, man, I wonder if he knows about the Masons and if these guys are, what he's teaching these high school kids. So I emailed him again. I said, yeah, what do you teach exactly again? What era of history? And he came back. He's like, U.S. history and then Constitution or something like that. And so then I said, well, you know, I kind of wanted, well, I sent him this. Then I sent him the Faith of the Early Father with Pinto. And then he comes back. He says, wow. He says, you know, I think we need to get together and talk about this.
You know, so, good.
Yeah, it was. So, yeah. I don't know if he looked at it, but he just, when he saw my thing, I said, here, I want you to look at this because I want to know what you think of this movie. And I told him it was about the Freemasons and stuff. And so then he went back to, well, let's get together and talk. I said, okay, fine. So we ended up going out to lunch at this place in town. And we were talking. And he brought his books. Oh, Imitation of Christ. I kept reading by Thomas Kempis. He brought his little holy books, you know. So we were talking about the faith the whole time. Then we did get into some of the.
But he was a Protestant his whole life. But he's now he wants to be an Orthodox.
Exactly.
Unorthodox as much.
Exactly. But he knew the history. It's because he's a history guy. So he was starting to. He was talking about the history of you know, the Greek Orthodox and stuff. So we were going back and forth about the church fathers, you know. They didn't really think, like, the one-man rule. I said, well, no, they did say that. You know, you're trying to say, like, he had a problem with, like, the Pope because, oh, no one man can make the rule. And
monarchy.
And yeah, exactly. Yeah. He didn't like republic. He liked republics more. And he's trying to say, well, no, you know, the Greeks got mad because he didn't take counsel from them when he made this decision. You know, it wasn't so much the Philoque. He tried to say, like, it wasn't really the Philoque cause. It was just because they didn't take counsel. I said, well, that's...
Well, that was part of the problem.
Exactly.
And they don't feel like it, you know, I'm going to listen to you.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
It so, started out with rebellion, yeah.
Exactly. So, basically, that was it. But I did make a point. I said, look, now that you came out of Protestantism, I said, you can admit that it's absurd, right? I mean, the Bible alone. I mean, like, now that you know the history that goes into, like... Because we're talking about, like... You know, how the New Testament came to canon. It's like the Bible doesn't interpret itself. That's why you need who interprets the Bible is the main thing, right? So with these Protestants, you know, they're not infallible. But the Bible, I mean, where did the Bible come from? Did St. Paul, did the King James drop out of the sky and then he went around referring the Gentiles with the King James Bible? No, it didn't, you know. He admitted. I said, well, we didn't have the Bible until 400 years, you know, like the New Testament canon. So it's like, he agreed. He's like, yeah, they're crazy that they say the Bible alone. Like they have no context of where the Bible came from or what it is. I mean, the process, the whole notion is...
And they don't even care.
No, they don't.
That's the weird part.
They don't. No, it's like, it's crazy.
Did you ever sit
back? That's the book you rely on. You don't know nothing about, like, with the history, how it came together.
About Rob Lopez, when he visited us, and we tried to tell him that our faith goes back to the church fathers.
Right.
We have an unbroken patriology of our beliefs, and we gave this kid, Rob Lopez, a book on patriology.
Right.
And he brought it back about a week or two later, and he says, I couldn't read it because it's of the devil, I don't want to read it, it's like devilish. And it was a devil making him think that if he read it, he's going to commit a sin. I said, wait a second. I said, if it is of the devil, read it and refute me.
Exactly.
I mean, to not read it, though, how are you going to be able to refute us? So you're never going to read patriology anymore?
No, you don't care?
They don't, really, they throw out patriology. Even like the other guy, I don't mention his name, called Bishop, he says, oh, too legalistic. So you don't want to read the church fathers, but that's where our faith came from.
I know.
They chopped it all out.
Yeah.
So he was afraid to read the patriology.
Yeah.
And this guy, the Protestants, they're afraid, like you told them, to go back and look, where did the Bible come from even? And when you tell them, they get shocked.
Yeah, they do.
But no one, it doesn't even enter their mind, that's how clouded they are.
I know.
So someone like you come along and you tell them.
Right, exactly. Well, this guy being a history guy, he was, and you can see, he's coming along. You know, I know he likes republics, and, you know, and he doesn't like monarchs, but I told him, no, he's, you know, single. Like King David had, like, he was a single man ruler. God favored him, you know. He tries to, because they're not perfect. These people aren't perfect. You can't have a single ruler because he's not perfect. I mean, come on. I mean, they were favored by God. They were doing God's will.
Yeah, so, Moses. Republic, yeah. Now you got 100
exactly.
perfect people.
I said, look, you only got one. Now you got
100 of perfect people.
I know, exactly.
Republic.
And then I said, well, look what can happen with a single man. You can get things done. Well, I know that, but I don't want to. He was afraid of things happening too quickly, because if it was bad, or I guess he was trying to say if it was bad or something. But I mean, like.
Well, it's better. Then it's good or bad.
Exactly. It's done. I mean, you're not. Law jam for five years trying to get one thing done that
great
never gets to fruition. Oh, it's ridiculous. Good so, thing. Yeah, you know. So I gave him some food there, and he listened. He said, yeah, I think I learned a lot. And I said, you want to keep it there? Well, yeah, we'll see, you know. And I offered him to show him some stuff. He said, well, I'm busy. He's writing a book, and school starts for them like another week. But he wants to kind of, his thing is, he doesn't, because the school year is so long here, and he wants to go do his master's in Mackinac, Michigan, Hillsdale College and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So,
they're conservative.
Yeah, they're conservative.
Right. They provide some good stuff, but,
he left the door open that I could talk to him again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
But that's good, though.
Interesting. Yeah.
Is that bald-headed guy?
Yeah, Henry Nodland guy. He spoke before me at the cafeteria but he was at another one before that too.
Yeah. Well, we'll write this down so we can get onto the Massapers and all that and the announcements. Go ahead. Any comments, by the way, before we close down?
Yeah, I was going to say, they always refer back to the, oh, what if it's an evil king, you know, this against monarchy? But that's just down to a lack of faith.
What if
you get a bad king, that's because God is punishing you, or he's giving you punishment due to your sins, or whatever.
You could say, what if you get bad politicians? It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. No difference. You just don't obey one man.
Yeah.
You can get, well, I'd rather have one bad king than 100 bad politicians.
Yeah. At least you know whose fault it is.
Yeah.
Well, like that thing they talked about, the sheriff, the Magna Carta, and all the sheriffs for the people. Oh, what happens if you get a bad sheriff?
Exactly. Look at today. The Congress is all corrupt.
Oh, I know.
They're all corrupt. Yeah. I'd rather one guy. At least I know who I can blame.
Yeah.
It's this guy. I can knock one guy out and put one guy in. Hitler said that perfectly. With the democracy, you can never change it.
Yeah.
You got hundreds of people in there, and maybe fewer get elected. You'd have to kill them all, replace them all 100, like overnight, and they all have to be good.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Or they say power... power corrupts perfectly.
Absolute power, absolutely.
That's the biggest lie in the whole world. Because
yeah.
I can prove it, number one, because God's the most all-powerful. That means he must be the most corrupt. That makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
You could be equally as corrupt as a powerless poor beggar on the street, robbing people as much as anybody who's in power. Power doesn't corrupt a good person. Never does, never will. We've had good... It's just that most people are evil. It's not the power that corrupts. It's the misuse of power.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the intellect that corrupts. A smart person, you can be smart, that's good. It's a corrupted intellect that corrupts the person. It's not riches that corrupt, it's the misuse of riches.
Yeah.
Power corrupt, that's the biggest lie that the Democrat people put in there, and because we've had great kings with great power that made great changes.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't want to obey anybody. And they don't realize that you still have somebody in the back anyway, so you know, you're not going to escape, but you still got to obey one person, Satan, or Christ, you know, or who's Satan is putting in power. Or, and if that's true, right, well, in the United States, we don't have a monarchy, so what's going on there?
Yeah.
No one has absolute power, but we're the most corrupt that's ever been. In Rome, too, pagan Rome, if that was a republic. So, wait a second, I thought that only absolute power corrupts. None of these guys have absolute power. So how come they're not good? How come they're more corrupt even than the most evil king you can imagine in your mind? It's how stupid they are.
Yeah,
they're rebellious. They don't want to obey nobody. That's all. They don't want to be told what to do. And people that don't want to be told what to do are like little kids that aren't, you know, spank them and you don't straighten them out. They need a good beating. Some people are like that, just they got an evil spirit of rebellion. And if they're ultimately obstinate, you're not going to get it out of them. That, you just have to lock them up. You don't give them power. You don't let them spout his bullshit out in the public. The whole world, the whole democracy world is like that. So I said, the easiest people we're going to get to convert, North Koreans, zealous Muslims that are under imams, Orthodox Jews that obey their rabbis, they obey. When they come in here, you're going to see obedience like you've never seen before. Because they want to obey. They look to obey. Look, and when they say they look to strong leaders, they look for leadership. They want to obey. They want someone to obey. Mm-hmm. They're trained up in obedience, even though they're pagans or false religions. At least they got obedience. The worst thing is when you have obedience, it's all over. There's no hope.
Yeah. What do you point out all the time? Soldiers. They're going to martyr all
Why
all
are soldiers the number one martyrs?
Yeah.
Because they obey. They have to obey. They're going to get killed. They offer up their life for a cause. They suffer pain, and they have brotherhood, and they work together. A lot of good qualities there. But think about what democracy destroys all of that. They don't. Protestants, they started this whole thing. The minute you get rid of a hierarchy and a monarchy, then where are you?
Right.
Nobody has to obey anything. By default, it's all over. That's why they start new churches. They go to another church next week because they don't like what this guy said. Then you go to another church. They're all a bunch of rebels, is what we're saying. That religion appeals to rebels. That's why when I told you, I like looking at the movies about Downton Abbey and The Crown and all that. Even though we know that they still have some monarchical obedience, or Downton Abbey, or they're obeying a hierarchy, at least you see that structure. That's all gone now. Democracy's torn apart. They already started to chip away at the monarchies, like you said, Cromwell and England, and so it's only a puppet monarchy in England, but they still have some type of the people still like it. They want to have that, which is unusual. They can't knock that out of the people. They're trying to. That's one of the last even puppet monarchies they want to get rid of is in England. They're hoping King Charles will throw it all overboard, but I don't think he will. I hope he doesn't, but he might not. We'll see what happens. Maybe because he's in there now, he sees the responsibility that he has, or he could flip. Should be interesting to watch. Okay, so that was our lecture for today. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, you can stop that. No, we'll go to announcements and mass prayers.